Blog Talk Radio.
To get to know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I'll send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I'll coach you. Cause gymming is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed, but in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
Huh, and as you did, I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no birthday.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands just like Allstate. I'm winding down, we eating on fine plates. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the cloud, ow.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
crib, get nasty. I'm a cowboy, you a big girl. Take a round trip, just a rocky world. Like shake, wobble, wobble, shake, shake, for your mama. Don't need a bag, shopping sprees, the Bahamas. Roll with a king, it don't cost you a dollar. Eat that candy, watch it bust, pinata.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
I had to bring mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them about it, man.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen.
Thank you for the blood.
The blood that saved my life.
The blood that saved my life.
And thank you for the lamb.
Thank you for the lamb.
Oh, the lamb that was sacrificed.
The lamb.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that your blood
yeah.
led me through it all.
So I came to say thank you.
I just
like to get to know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I'll send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I'll coach you. Cause Jimin is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed, but in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
And as you did,
did I leave your mind when I was gone?
Get this right. I just wanna be. I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no birthday.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands just like all state. I'm winding down, we eating on fine plate. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the clouds, ow.
Baby, I've stayed away too long.
And as you
did,
hello, you're listening to Queen of Talk, Angela Butler. Today the interview is Mr. Roy Jarman. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Jarman?
I'm doing just fine. How about you, Queen?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. I'm doing good.
Great.
Yes. So we're going to talk about your new book. How is your new book going?
Well, I haven't really been promoting it that much recently, but I'm beginning to start out again on it, trying to see how things are going. And
okay,
kind of got back into the mood of it for the holiday.
Okay.
Hello?
What is the name?
Yeah.
Yes, what is the name of your book?
It's called Poetry by Simon, volumes 1, 2, and 3. I'm working quite a bit on volume 1 right now, you know, just trying to get some things done. Maybe trying to get a script out of it.
A script out of it, make a movie out of it?
I'm trying to see if it can be done. I'm working on it, trying to see if it you know, if I can get it to work. I'm looking into those you know, different genres and different venues. Trying to expand myself a little bit. Do a little more writing and speaking and maybe even into the movies.
Okay, all right. So you were born in Greenville, Mississippi. Where do you live at now? New Jersey? You live in New Jersey?
Piscataway, New Jersey. Yes, indeed. Been here for like maybe 40 years now. And
you like New Jersey?
Well, you know, it's where I live. you know, you have to adjust. You make your different adjustments and so forth. Of course, I'm not too keen on cold weather, but, you know, I'm adjusting. I go out when I have to and put on my heavy coats when I have to and do what I can, you know.
Yes, sir. All right. So what was it like? Do you remember anything about Greenville, Mississippi? How is it? Is it better than New Jersey?
Is it better?
Or is New Jersey better than Greenville, Mississippi?
You know, I don't compare things in that fashion somewhat. Every place has its own unique qualities and nuances and so forth. I came here in New Jersey in the early 80s, you know, for a job. I came here and worked for AT&T, which I did for like for 20 years, and retired from there as a computer programmer. I went back and forth, just, you know, see my parents and siblings and so forth for a while until my parents passed away for the most part. And so, you know, it's just a different environment. And this is where I am now. This is where I've established well my roots and so forth. So that's where I am.
Okay. All right. So your military, I want to say happy late Veterans Day and thank you for your service.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. Now, they say you are in Florida, but you're on Central Time. You must be in the Panhandle area somewhere.
Yes, sir. I'm in the Panhandle of Florida.
What city is that?
I'm near Panama City Beach, Florida. Panama City, Florida.
Oh, okay.
I'm an hour from Panama City, Florida.
Okay, so you down there near the Gulf Coast, you can look out and see the water, see the ocean.
No, sir, there's no water around me.
Oh,
I'm in
okay.
A small
country.
I have an hour. You see that?
Oh, okay, okay. You're far enough from the water.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. You don't have to call
yes,
me, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, would you read me a section of your book?
Yes, I'd be glad to read something.
Give me my Oscar.
Oh, that's the one you want to hear? That's what everybody's asking for nowadays. And I think that's because of my PR person, but that's fine with me. Give Me My Oscar is a poem I wrote. You know, we all have ups and downs in life and so forth. And since I've been diagnosed with PTSD stemming from military service, I wrote it from that perspective. So even though everyone has to deal with the different nuances in life, when you have PTSD, that gives you a whole nother layer of the way of looking at things and you have to deal with. So you find yourself pretending, and what I have learned in my my council meetings and so forth is how to direct your triggers, realize your triggers, and how to kind of control yourself. So it's like when you're on stage acting, you get a cue and you know what to do and so forth. And that's the way I looked at it. And so it came to me while I was watching the Oscars. I said, oh, yeah, I'm playing a part in life also, you know. So that's the way I wrote it. So here I go. Give me my Oscar.
Can you read that, please?
Yes. They passed by my house at night and see the light in my window, pain in my plight. That it's a candle burning behind the window shade, sitting on the window sill, because the money that I recently made was not enough to pay my electric bill. So give me my Oscar and my Tony Award and my Grammy, because I paid my dues. Now there's a smile on my face sometimes, but my heart is crushed. And my soul is singing the blues. So don't you see, there's no better actor than me. So give me my Oscar and my Tony and my Grammy, too. Now, she was my everything, my sole reason to live. And everything that I had to her, I was willing to give. I gave her my heart, my love, my soul. She took them and crushed them, and lo and behold, while attempting to cover up my heartbreak's demise, I lost control of my emotions when I laughed until I cried. So give me my Oscar and my Tony and my Grammy because I paid my dues. Okay, so I smiled sometime, but my heart is crushed and my soul is singing the blues. But don't you see, there's no better actor than me. So give me my Oscar and my Tony and my Grammy, too. See, I high-five Mel Carrier every day that he comes by. He high-fives me back and gives me a sigh because I'm always standing there next to the mailbox. There's no soul in my shoes, so I'm literally standing there in my socks. But he chats with me for a little while because he knows that my agonies continue to prevail. And we both know that all he's delivering is overdue bills and junk mail. So give me my Oscar and my Tony Award and my Grammy because I paid my dues. Okay, so I smile sometimes, but my heart is crushed and my soul is singing the blues. So don't you see, there's no better actor than me. So give me my Oscar and my Tony and my Grammy, too. You see, this PTSD won't let me live a normal life, nor be a normal friend. So I crawl into my foxhole in my bedroom or in my den to live out there until my end. With nothing to give, no reason to live, nothing to lose, and nothing to win. So give me my Oscar and my Grammy because I paid my dues. Okay, so I smile sometime, but my heart is crushed and my soul is singing the blues. Now tell me, can't you see that there's no better actor than me? So give me my Oscar and my Tony and my Grammy, too. Thanks.
So you have post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD.
Yes, yeah, that came on me over the years, and it just kind of took hold of me. One of the hardest things for me to do was to accept the fact that that was going to be a lifelong situation. You know how we are sometimes, especially men, I guess. Tell me what's wrong so I can go ahead and fix it. Tell me what to do so I can just fix it and get it over with. And it took me a while to accept that there was going to be something that I'm going to have to live with. There's going to be days that's going to be good, days going to be, I'll say, better than others. But I learned how to deal with it. Some days I'm doing great, and other days I don't know what may happen. So I have to stay on my BTs and Qs and so forth. But, you know, I'm learning. That's what life is.
You learn.
Yeah.
That's
learning
what life is about.
Yeah, that's it. Learning from day to day how to get along, how to live, put up with different situations on the mountain. Some days you're in the valley.
Yes, sir, that is true. I have depression also, so yes, that's true.
Oh my God! So- what do you do with it? How do you handle it? How do you? What are your sources of a rejuvenation, an inspiration.
Just walking outside, walking around.
Taking a walk.
Going somewhere.
Yeah.
Going somewhere.
Letting your thoughts.
Leaving the house.
Well, I have like a garden, and I could go out in that garden and just play all day, you know. I used to, but my body is getting a little worn nowadays. I can't take it like I used to. But that would be the time, and my thoughts just go. My thoughts is like they evaporate. It's like all the things. Just doesn't exist when you're out there and planting things and you're watching them grow and caring for the garden and so forth. So that's one of the things that I find that helps me is helping others. I volunteer. I'm a member of the VFW, which is Veterans of Foreign Wars, which is Veterans Helping Veterans. I'm also a member of the DAV, which is Disabled American Veterans. What we do, we go to the hospitals and communities and do different things for people. I also volunteer at a friend of ours, food pantry, where we pass out food and so forth and clothing and things of that nature. And it's sort of like it lets you know that, you're not the only one. There are other people out there who need you. And so that sort of gives me a different perspective. It makes me feel better. It makes me real. Makes you feel worthy of something, that's one of the things that I do. Some things.
So the name of your book, the new book you have about it, is called Poetry by Simon, Volume 3, God's Blessing, My Jamaican Gem.
Right. That's the last one that was published yet. So, I wrote this one. It's dedicated to my wife. She's of the Jamaican descent, and life was my previous wife had passed away with breast cancer. And so when this one came along, sort of brought the smile back to my face, gave me, companionship. And so I dedicated this one to her.
Okay.
And,
okay. You've been interviewed by CBE Christian Video Entertainment, interviewed by Stellar Award winner Lady D radio host personality.
Oh, Lady D from Christian View.
Christian Vision Entertainment, February 9, 2018. You've been through a lot of things. I see that in January 12, 2020, the movie called Snowback, Roy Lee Jones plays as Tobias, is a detective. He gets the chance to act with famous Gloria Hendry and Ron Van Cleef. Is that true? Did you do that? Were you able to do that despite COVID?
Oh, yes. That was a very eye-opening experience for me. Got a chance to have a part as I was Detective Tobias in the movie Snow Black. Robert Parham was the producer there, a director, and flew out to California, was out there for a little while working on the movie. They took good care of me. I got a chance to understand how the movies are made, the background. That was very eye-opening for me. That was
Yes, between 2015 and 2020, you've been doing a lot of things.
Well, you know, I take my time to just go about doing what I can.
Doing what I can.
Go speak at different places, try to do some uplifting. I get calls from people to speak at the schools, especially during military holidays and so forth. Explaining to the kids about the military, what happened, some of my experiences in the military, in the U.S., in the Army. And so I go to different places, speaking at different schools and so forth of that nature, yes. So I do a little of that. I like to do inspirational speaking to let people know that, you know, just from my situation, from to climb back out of that pit that I thought I was in and would never come out again, you can do it too. You know, so that's we all need that sometime, you know. Everybody gonna need a shoulder to lean on every once in a while, sometime in life.
But not in Delray. What
makes
sense?
Yeah, so that's right. That's what I do. That's what I enjoy doing. And that's what that helps me, I think, way more than it helps them sometimes. That's the way I feel. And then sort of give me a little more energy to keep going, to be with others. So.
Gives you a purpose.
Yes, that's it.
It gives you a purpose.
Yeah, and I think once you find your purpose, that's sort of like that's a situation where a person should be, because oftentimes we go through life just wondering, okay, this is what I want, this is what I want, and then suddenly, or maybe not suddenly, but over a span of time, you find out, oh, this is me here. This is where I'm supposed to be. So.
So, this is the third book, am I right?
Correct. If I may, my first book, it came about because of one of my counselors, and my group counselors told me to start writing and journaling so that I could, you know, to kind of help me with my PTSD and help me to come out of my shell, so to speak. And I dedicated my first book to my father. It's called Family Foundations. And growing up in Mississippi, living on these plantations and so forth, you know, you have don't have much, but you know, it's a way of life. And my father had such an integrity about himself that he it rubbed off on me, and I found that because he tell you your word is your bond, you have to stand by your word and do what you say you're gonna do. And he was a hard-working man. Sometimes he would be gone in the morning when we wake up, and then we'd be in the bed when he gets back in the evening. So I wrote one poem called All We Could Afford, dedicated to him. if I could read that.
Yes, sir. That would be good.
It's called All We Could Afford. Dedicated to my late father, George Jarman, for all the sacrifices that he made for me and all his family members. At times, I peer into the past, when I was just a small lad, and I think of the jeers and the sneers thrown into my face. Shoes too large or too old, run over heel or no sole, no hem pants above the ankles with a snag on one of the knees, always in some kind of a tangle, had no hanky when I sneezed. A brand new jacket I found. It was just lying around. Although the jacket had been worn and one of the sleeves were torn, I bit my lips and cried, a brand new jacket. Sometimes we kids would fuss and sometimes there were fights. Sometimes we even had no lights except a homemade tallow candle. The dad worked the whole year round from sun up to sundown, yet there wasn't enough money to go to town to get food for the table. Just wasn't able. I remember when I broke a handle from my glasses, snatched right off the frame. But Dad's supplies and a piece of wire made them all new again. And then I found an old radio beneath some old clothes that had molded. Now, Papa was sure to give me a lash had I not mentioned I found it in the trash, because he thought it had been stolen. See, Daddy made us live through the measles, the chicken pox, the whooping cough, through the cardboard when the pain and the rats ran in the lungs. Let me tell you, and this ain't no jive, there's only one thing that kept us alive. Ain't no way that we could have survived had it not been for Daddy's love. Because, you see, sometimes that's all we could afford. That's the dedication to my father and his hard work and what he, how he, the things and, that he instilled in me. One of the ways I look at him, think about him, recall, excuse me, those situations as it is, you know, today when I look back on it, though.
Yes, sir. You look back at your father and your family.
Yes. Right. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Your mom, was she alive to raise you?
Yes, my father and mother were together. Father passed some years before she did. You know, it's amazing. When I looked at my mother, the way I had observed her, it seemed like she was submissive to my father. I don't mean that he was walked over or anything, but she would say, you just wait till your father get here. Go to your daddy. When one of my parents, when I... you go to one, though, you ask your, excuse me, ask my father, he'll say, what did your mother say? Then when I go to my mother, she'll say, what did your father say? And I looked at my mother, and to me, I thought she was weak. I thought my mom, so, you know, not weak per se, but I didn't think that, I thought Dad was the one that was holding her up. And when my father passed, in my mind, I said, oh, man, what's going to happen to my mother now? I don't know what's going to happen. And, man, that woman, she quietly pulled that family together and held us so tight. And I said, you know what? I don't know what I was missing. I think I got a lot of my... my traits from my mother, you know, my speaking, the way I speak and the way I talk and the I guess they called it the corny humor or whatever. I think that was really from my mother. And it seemed like I learned more about her through my father passed than I really thought I knew about her. I looked at it, it was so different. But she was a strong woman. She ended up being way stronger than I thought, you know, that I could have even envisioned, you know. But, you know, as you live, like she would always say, live and learn. That's what I did.
Live and learn.
Yeah.
You got to, you opened up Mr. Dick Gregory at Plainfield High School presented by Plainfield Housing Authority in Plainfield, New Jersey. What was that like?
Yeah, that was very interesting to me. Meeting Dick Gregory was, I had been hearing about him, I had seen him, and so forth. And when I met him, it was like just meeting one of your old friends that you had been knowing for a long time. He embraced you so, he was so warm and accepting right away. And he allowed me to read some of my poetry, do a book signing. But he was one of the first people that I really opened up for. It just kind of gave me a whole different outlook on life and how people are and what you think about people as being celebrities and so forth. It was just totally different, you know. So we got a chance to take some pictures with him and we walked and just talk to you like you sit down and talk to everyday people that you meet all the time. And I found that very refreshing. Excuse me. My throat getting a little dry. Give me a drink of water.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just wanted people to get the feel of you so they know something about you. I know you also present an award to Mayor Ras Baraka of New York, New Jersey in regards to his late father, Amir Baraka, National Poetry Award Show, September 19, 2015. You were the presenter for the awards for the poet winner, so I think that's wonderful. And your book is very touching and very moving.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's one thing that I hope to do is sometimes we just, the way the world is sometimes, you know, we just get on this ride, I guess I call it. It's like if you take a twig or something and throw it into a running stream, the twig just floats along wherever the stream carries it. But sometimes you have to stop. You have to look around and stand back some time and observe what's going on instead of just going with the flow. And that's what I hope to do is just, you know, is to have us to think about what we're doing and to concentrate on who we really are. What do we owe to this world? Like you said before, what is my purpose here? You know, and I think everyone would say that my purpose is to make things a little better for somebody else or to bring somebody else along or to help someone else. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said before, John Donne said that no man is an island entire of itself. Each man a part of the main. You know, we all pull together, you know. There's enough division in this world, you know, so we need, as long as we, if we work together, look out for that. We don't always have to agree on everything, but we do need to have respect. Have some respect for that other person, the next person.
Very prominent gentleman. You're a very prominent gentleman. In June 14, 2016, you received the proclamation from Mayor Samson G. Stammer of Rahway, New Jersey, for volunteering his time back to the community at Aurora's Health Riverton, 1777 Lawrence Street, Rahway, New Jersey. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that, and Rahway. That was one of the things, too, that we used to go to. I guess we called them adult homes. Talk to the elderly people there. And I found that, you know, when I was reading there, reading my poetry, and once I finished, they all wanted to sit around, they wanted to talk, they wanted to discuss things. And I thought that was the beautiful part of it, because they understood where I was coming from. They needed somebody to talk to. Well, sometimes, you know, it seemed like, you know, when you get in those homes like that, you may not have a lot of friends. Your family may not come visit you that often and so forth. And just the fact that they, you know, just want to sit around and just want to talk and have a conversation, you know. That was the beautiful part of it. And that really gives me a good feeling. Yeah. I like doing that.
Yes, amusement marketing is good, aren't they?
Oh man.
Pretty good.
If it hadn't been for Yolanda Mack, I don't know where I would have been by now. Because when I first went into this bookstore, I said, how in the world do you get a book on one of these shelves here? He said, you have to talk to Miss Mack. I said, who is that? Yeah, she's a hardworking person. I call her the Mack Attack. When you put the Mack Attack on you, the Mack Attack, yes, indeed. Yeah, so she does an excellent job. She's a hardworking person, man. I know I was speaking in East Orange once. And when I went there to present, the person in charge, and she said, oh, man, I'm going to tell you something. He said, your PR person, Ms. Mack, she sure looks out for you. I said, what do you mean? She said, man, I was on the phone with her, and she had laid down all the situations, what I need to do and what I had to do and all of this stuff. She said, oh, my gosh, I just had to buckle in to her. I said, okay. behind the scene, I wasn't aware of it. All I know is she said, well, you know, we get a chance to talk at this school up in East Orange. And, boy, the person in charge there told me, she let me know that I was well represented. So I've been with Miss Mack ever since.
Congratulations. Yeah, beautiful books, beautiful poetry.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hopefully I'll get a chance meet you and give you a signed copy of my next one when it comes out.
Maybe one day we will meet, sir. I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of traveling money.
Oh, well, you know. We can make it work. Like my son just said, make it happen, Captain. So
make it happen, Captain.
We can find a way to.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll make it. We'll make it happen. So, but I want to thank you for allowing me to come on, sharing some of my poetry and some of my thoughts. And I want to wish you a wonderful and safe and happy
holiday season.
You have a happy holiday season, too. Thank you for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler.
Okay.
All right, everyone.
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Everyone, when you listen to this interview again, you will be listening to authors of the new book, Roy Jarman, Poetry by Simon, Volume 3, God's Blessing by Jamaica Jim. Mr. Jarman, are you on the phone?
Beg your pardon?
Mr. Jarman, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm still
here.
Tell
people where they can buy your book at.
You can find me on Amazon.com.
Okay.
All right,
everyone. That was Mr. Ward Jarman, Yolanda McIntosh, a.k.a. Yolanda Mac, Mismatch Marketing, is promoting him. I look forward to having Mr. Jarman back on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Once again, it's Mr. Roy Jarman. His book can be found on Amazon.com. The new book is called Poetry by Simon, Volume 3, God's Blessing, My Jamaican Gem. So everybody go out and buy this book. If you want to be motivated, inspired, go out and buy Mr. Roy Jarman's book. All right, everyone. I thank you for listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com. The new book by Mr. Roy Jarman, his third book, is called Poetry by Simon, Volume 3, God's Blessing, My Jamaican Gem. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. This show will be distributed shortly. Have a good night, Mr. Jarman.
Thank you. You have a wonderful time, too. Prayers and go with you.
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless.
Good night.